Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Yusuf Mohammed from Montana State University. I will be talking about water use efficiency and soil moisture dynamics in some dryland crops. As you all know, low soil moisture is one of the major crop production constraints, especially in dryland farming. So agricultural practice and sound water management strategies are needed to save and conserve soil moisture. This information can help to make decisions that helps to minimize the risk associated with dry spell. With this background, we evaluated the soil moisture dynamics and water use efficiency in spring wheat, drum wheat, barley, and field pea in a temperate semi-arid area. This is where we did the experiment, the northeast part of Montana, and the soil in this part of the state is clay loam with 2.8 organic matter content, and the annual temperature in this area is about 6.1 degrees centigrade, and this area receives about 360 millimeter of precipitation, in which 75% of the precipitation comes between the months of April and August. We planted these crops in the spring of 2016, so I am presenting 1 year result. We use the Divine 2000 to measure soil moisture content, and this instrument has a data logger and a display unit, and it is connected to a probe with a cable, and we measure soil moisture content to the extent of 80 centimeter depth. For that reason, we installed PVC at the time of planting at a depth of 80 centimeter. So we measure soil moisture content every 10 centimeter intervals to down to 0.8 meter twice a week after 1 month of planting. So we have this PVC in each plot of the different crops. So what we do is we just send the probe inside the PVC, and we don't need to stop each depth. It automatically measures the moisture content for each depth and give us a scale frequency. We calibrated that scale frequency using gravimetric soil moisture content to change the scale frequency into moisture content, and we found a very good correlation between the scale frequency and the soil moisture content. We calculated water use as a sum of the difference between initial soil moisture content and interseasonal precipitation minus final soil moisture content. I have to admit here that this water balance might have a limitation because it doesn't consider runoff, evaporation from the soil and canopy interception, and also it doesn't consider infiltration below 8 centimeters. We assume these variables are negligible under our conditions. And we have seen also some manuscript published in Agronomy Journal using this water balance. We calculated water use efficiency as the ratio of amount of grain produced for each crop divided by water used in millimeter. And after we did this water use efficiency calculation, we was also thinking about if we change that kilogram of grain into dollar per hectare, divided that by millimeter of water consumed. I don't know what to call this term, but we try to see that parameters as a criteria for evaluating the water use efficiency of the different crops. So this is the moisture dynamics during the crop growing period. So on the x-axis, we have the sampling date, moisture sampling date. On the y-axis, we have soil moisture in percent. So as you can see from these graphs, we can tell three important things. Number one, the rate of soil moisture depletion and recharge, the rate of soil moisture depletion and recharge for the different crop is different. That's number one. Number two, at the end of the growing season, the different crops have different residual moisture after harvesting. Usually in that part of the state, farmers use fallow, summer fallow, to recharge the soil moisture for the next season. So when you see this green line graph compared to the purple, they usually have the same trend. So our intention is if we replace that summer fallow with this field pea, we will have almost the same moisture content at the end of the harvesting compared to the summer fallow. This might be very interesting because one thing, it will generate economy, and the second thing, it will help to sustain the system by rotating different crops. Besides that, it is not significantly reducing the soil moisture after harvesting. So from this graph, as I said, the other point that we can conclude is that the different cereal crops, the barley, durum wheat, and spring wheat, have much water requirement compared to the dry pea, because the amount of soil moisture retained after harvesting was lower compared to dry pea. This is the water use efficiency that shows, this graph shows on the x-axis the different crops, on the y-axis the water use efficiency measured in kilogram per hectare divided by millimeter of water used. As you can see, most of the cereals have high water use efficiency compared to the field pea. This is very interesting because most of these cereals have more biomass compared to field pea. So that is why we have more water use efficiency for this crop compared to the field pea. Because I work on field pea, I'm just trying to push field pea for the farmers so that they can grow more field pea in the field than letting the field being summer fallow. So I changed this water use efficiency into amount of dollar generated per hectare. So when we see the amount of dollar generated from each crop per millimeter of water used from the precipitation, then we can see that field pea can generate equal amount of, even in some cases, more amount of dollar per hectare per millimeter of water used compared to the other crops. In summary, we can conclude that the rate of soil moisture recharge, depletion, residual soil moisture vary for the different crops, and the residual soil moisture content after harvesting field pea and summer fallow was not significantly different, from each other. Soil moisture content left after field, when we compare soil moisture, residual soil moisture content after harvesting field pea and spring pea, we got almost 50% higher residual soil moisture content from the field pea plots compared to the spring wheat. Although field pea has low water use efficiency, it generates more dollar per unit area per millimeter of water use. So this is very good for convincing the producer to grow field pea in that part of the state. As we all know, field pea has a low carbon footprint. Besides this, this water saving strategy may help to achieve sustainability in the state by incorporating field pea in the rotation system. This practice, if it is widely adopted in the state, will contribute toward this climate smart agriculture and sustainability by conserving the water and reducing greenhouse gas emission. We suggested that long-term research is needed to make the final recommendation because this is from 1 year result. So with that, I will say grow dry to generate more dollars and to save more water. Thank you. Yeah, the tendrils.
So it was the morphology which is more reduced in leaf surface area.
Yeah.
Do we have another question?
Okay.
Yes, what's the maturity, or how many days does it take for it to mature? So is it's more of a crowd escaper in some way?
I would say they were planted almost the same time and harvested at the same time. But the difference might be because the biomass in the cereals is very high compared to the field pea, both in terms of above and below ground. Those biomass may transpire more water, resulting more water loss. So that might be the difference compared to the field pea. Field pea has very shallow root system, and they may not be able to extract soil moisture as deep as the cereal crops. So that will save more water for the next crop, for the next season.
Along those lines, do you expect a greater wheat crop if you rotate peas and wheat?
That's the plan.
And you get a more bigger crop the next year?
Yeah, that's the plan. If we recharge the soil by growing, if we are not depleting the soil moisture by growing pea, the next season we can grow, or we can plant winter wheat in the fall.
Thank you.
Okay.